Et voilà, on est bien en live depuis le KBCB Kunsthausbühne, centre d'art Bienne, ici au Studio Lo Lumpen Station. Et on va discuter un petit peu avec Vassili Widmer, qui est un des artistes que cette année va venir plusieurs fois pour faire des happenings, des performances avec. Des amis à lui qui font de la musique ou simplement qui organisent, on va dire, des espaces culturels. On va pas trop spoiler. La conversation va être en anglais. Peut-être même qu'il va dire bonjour en allemand. On va voir. Mais aujourd'hui, c'est une émission pour voilà, présenter un petit peu ce qu'il va faire avec nous toute cette année ici sur Lumpen Station. Aussi écouter quelques morceaux et voir un peu ce qui intéresse Vassili pour élaborer plusieurs contenus sonores. Mais sans plus tarder, voilà, on commence avec un premier morceau de 8 minutes d'un de ses amis, mais il va nous le présenter tout à l'heure. Hello Vassili. As you noticed, is the French introduction, but after the sound, I will properly open your mic and then we can have this conversation.
Thank you.
We are back here with Vasily Vidmer. We just hear one song. So, Vasily, I open your mic. You can eventually introduce yourself for the people they might don't know you, and then we can start to really speak about what you are going to present us.
Yes, hello, I'm Vasily. First, I want to introduce the song. It's from Lua Jung. It's non-released yet, but at some point, I hope. Beautiful song. Artist you can find on SoundCloud, newcomer from Zurich. Very interesting. Yes, so I'm very happy to start my year residency with Lumpen Station here at the beautiful Centre Pascal in this cozy space.
You know, now it's a KBCB Kunsthaus, Biel, Centre d'Art Bien. It's not anymore Pascal.
You don't call it Pascal anymore?
Not anymore.
Oh my God, sorry.
No, that's nice. So we can say live that there is a change of name in the identity. Now it's clear for everybody.
Can you say the new name again?
Kunsthaus Biel, Centre d'Art Bien, and for the friends, KBCB.
Okay. KGB.
Yeah, there is a lot of jokes around it, but
Sorry.
KBCB, yes.
Yeah, your Kunsthaus Biel is perfect for me. Yeah, okay, so I'm mainly a performance artist working very multimedia. I live in Zurich and I work with Lumpen Station since, like, I don't know, 5 years or something. And
Yeah, you were one of the first one in residency in Espace Libre when we were just downstairs.
yeah, we took quite the journey. We spent some time in Appenzell, in the Kunsthalle there. We were in different places in St. Gallen and so on, in the Rote Fabrik recently.
As well.
Yeah, so it's very beautiful to continue this collaboration, and also for me, from this first residency where I was just trying out things, to then always take a continuous path of developing my work further on, think more of sound, because I love to work with sound, with recording, with words. But I wouldn't consider myself a musician, but I would say my art practice, sound always plays an important role, and there is also an increase of this importance currently.
You know, officially in all the application we did for you, you are a performer doing sound happening. So I hope that is large enough to contain everything you want to do.
As Fluxus is one of my absolute favorite influences, I think you have there a good clash of sound and performance, and this really yeah, nails my practice down also in a way. But it's obviously in further development of this. But I guess there is always, I always see things like performances, artworks in a way as melodies, and as often also in rhythms, or like non-rhythms, which is still a form of a rhythm. So these are very important elements for me. So there is definitely always a musicality in all works I do, but I wouldn't say I do music.
Yeah, but music, I think it's can be also sort of a conceptual motor to think, and you know, we can say orchestrating events, orchestrating even food. So there is like I think a way to think how you combine stuff in a rhythm, in a harmony eventually, or disharmony. So yes, there is always this idea of music. You have to be the best violinist in the orchestra, otherwise you are not a real musician, you know. But I think now with the music, it can be taken in a larger spectrum.
Yeah, I like the idea of like orchestrate or orchestra, because then I see this, my works or performances and installations, as a way of orchestra where I try to balance the different medias. So the best violinist and sound, the best drummer will be video. Yeah, also it's not, and it's also not about being the best. It's about creating interesting dynamics between the different instruments and working in balance, or also again in disbalance if it suits right, but also create balance between disbalance and balance, and so on.
Yeah, and I think you are interested also in doing collective work, a bit like a band or an orchestra, as you said, that is important for you to invite different people that are working around something.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm against this idea of the individual as genius or whatever visionary person, because it can be, but and they are very interesting individuals still. I just think like whenever you go into a collective mindset, also the individuals, as good as they are, they will make each other stronger. It's just I don't think, for me personally, I would, if I work in a collaboration, I don't need to always be collaboratively working. You can also have your own tasks and then exchange what you did and what you thought, and then to this develop your work further. Or you can also ask for feedback at a certain moment, or how another person did something, to learn something for yourself. And to this, yeah, I guess like collaborative processes make so much sense to me. And they kind of always did. I like people. I like to be in touch with people. And I like especially also to work with people which are not just directly in the same field as I am. So like, again, I worked with musicians actually and sound engineers already a lot. And I always sat next to it when I, for example, did the video work, and they were doing the soundtrack, sitting next to them, watching what they do and how they do it. And then I also a good friend of mine called Finn from Glasgow is absolute brilliant sound engineer and musician, and we were creating the soundtrack of one of my performance video works. And at some point, after like 7 hours of working straight into the night, late morning from 6 something to the afternoon, he was like hearing something which was distracting him, a sound element which he thought is coming from the computer or something, and was changing everything, and the sound wouldn't go away until he realized that through the window from another house, the window was open and someone was hoovering their flat, and he was hearing the hoover, and obviously this wouldn't stop.
This is make me think about the wow message, the wow message that for a moment has been taken as alien message. So there was like a moment of wow, and actually they thought for a moment, really, the scientific community, that they got a message from the other space, and actually it was the microwave of the next door that was doing this signal. Yeah. So yeah, unfortunately, it was not 80 talking with us, it was microwave.
Yeah, maybe possessed microwave here. Cool. Yeah, it's somehow similar, and also like it's I think it talks a lot about sensitivity of then what you're working on. And I for myself, I wouldn't dare telling my sensitivity now, because it's really hard to get. But then for Finn, it was clear his sensitivity are the ears, and by working in sound he would get more and more sensitive, to a point where he basically leaves the space he's working in, and his hearing expands to the next houses and so on. And I think like if you work with people who are like strong in their fields or very engaged, they will have strong sensitivities, and when they work on it, they get activated. And I think maybe we all know this, that if we work with certain people, certain elements of our strengths are getting activated, and we feel like we are nearly overperforming, or so many things are coming up to our mind, which were just actually there. They just need a little activation, and collaborative processes are beautiful for this.
And I know this year, I mean, maybe I have to say before, you kind of like to work around the topic you already did on Lumpen Station. That was this series of echo chamber, and so you were calling people to discuss about this sort of a concept or starting point to creating discussion. So somehow this year is season two with a new word, keyword, loud. So how happened that you select this keyword?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question.
Let's entering in the
it's a very difficult
forest.
Yeah, I think like this echo is still present here. Like this will never leave me. So I'm with echo, or echo is with me since. And I'm talking of the Greek, the figure of Greek mythology, echo, which was like, listen to Echo Chamber on Lumpen Station, and you will get not the full story, but a lot of the story. And I see her still as the spirit of the works I do in sound. And so, as you could see on the flyer, or as you will see on the flyer, there is again this painting of Echo where she basically closes her ears. And I obviously, as preparation for this new residency, I looked into what I did. I already had some ideas what I want to do. And I looked at this picture and was like, loudness, loud. It's a good word, like it's because we all use it so often and we are so used to it. But actually, like, what exactly does it mean? Is it purely subjective? Is it, after reading into it now, I found out, no, it's like called, what's the word? Psychoacoustic. So it's not just physical, which would be measured differently. That's what you measure in decibel and pascal, and it basically measures the the sound pressure, it's called, which is hitting the ear. So this is the scientific way of measuring it, but this is actually not what the psychoacoustic term of loudness defines, because loudness is in a way subjective and is also connected to sound pressure, which is then normally around, I think, 100 or 120 decibels. People like it's loud for the human body, which means it gets also dangerous for the ear. And if you go over 120 to 140, the theoretician, as Steven said, there it gets really, really dangerous. One of his earphones, by measuring this sound, kind of melted down. So, don't do this. So then again, I guess like loudness on a philosophical way of seeing it is just, it's interesting. Because for me, it has two sides. I guess I'm sensitive to loudness if it's like in bad sound quality. I can't hold on too long if sound is too loud, but bad mixed, so it hurts my ears and I leave the room. But then again, if there is a good sound quality and it's loud, I feel very home in it. And then I think loudness, also politically, to express yourself, people expressing needs, things being loud by what they say, what they are. It's an interesting term, and there's two sides. There's the negative one, which is, you have people just screaming in a violent way or in a scary way, but
I guess for me, like, I will defend the loudness in voice, not saying it only because I'm Italian speaker, but somehow I appreciate when there is a sort of loudness in the speaking and not, you know, his small voice like this, and then you're like, okay, let's go, no? But in the concert, and especially in the nightlife, I always kind of been fed up about the loudness, and it's also sort of a way to push people to consuming, because like in the bar, you know, at some point at around 10 p.m., they usually put the music a bit louder, so the conversation between people cannot really build. So with two people, yes, you can talk, but three people is already difficult when the music in the bar is loud enough. So you is a sort of a method, a nudge to make people more consume whatever the bar is offering. Because, for example, with three people, two people will get into the conversation and one will be out. So this person will sip faster, drink faster. And so then they finish the round and then they get another round. And it seems, I mean, it sounds a bit, you know, that is exaggerated, but is actually really a sort of marketing strategy to do so. And with that, also the club sometimes, I don't know if you know it from Zurich, but I had friends that are DJs and say usually when the DJ is putting it too loud, it's a bad DJ, because you have to compensate it somehow, the lack of good selection of music, by putting it the bass or whatever louder, so the people say are like a bit hypnotized, you know, punched.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, difficult questions. I guess like for me there is always, yeah, loudness finds residence like in a space, in an atmosphere, and also matching to what is expressed. So I guess then there can also be loudness of the silence. So silence can be very loud, and which would be like a seating protest or something like that. And with the DJs, yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you mean. Like there can be just bad music, very loud, so everyone still gets kind of immersed in it. But then I think there's also certain music which just hits better when it's loud. Like for me, noise music, I appreciate when it's kind of overtaking, but not again in a painful way, but in a just like good taking you in way. But then again, as St. Stephen's write in his theory about loudness, loudness is not just like this, it's also intensity. Yep. Oh, it's also intensity. And yeah, I guess this intensity, it's something which needs to be considered and maybe played around. And then in, yeah, to know your loudness and what should be loud and what shouldn't be loud is a very, can be a very beautiful instrument for communication. But some people misuse it as a weapon instead of an instrument.
I propose you to have a sound. Eventually, you prepared some tracks, so we can have.
Yep, I would listen to Riabina Fabrica.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, we were talking about loudness, but Vasily, this song was quite calm.
Yeah, let's start calm. It's still early. It's one, so I thought we're going to slowly raise the level. But actually, it will already start to raise in the next song. But yeah.
I think this song, if you put it really the volume really high, so really loud, could be also really painful.
Yeah, I mean, if you play it in repeat for like 50 times, it will be painful anyway. Yeah, so I just wanted to say one thing again about the loudness. And this is also that for me, a project with a title, because he said I always have this title for projects. For me, the whole project is also to learn about this topic, about this theme. And now loudness for me is still a bit of a mystery, as you heard. I did a bit of research. I have a bit of an idea what it is. But also this show, like the echo thing, will help me to get an idea what this complex term even means for me and what it means for other people. So yeah,
but I think it's also sort of a methodology you have that it's not totally, you know, common in the art field. I don't want to make some general thought, but maybe there are some dynamic, you know, usually the artist is the one that do his research. They have or by sensitiveness or by intellectually, and then the result is sort of a conclusion or report of what they explored. And there are also artists like you that they actually put the exploration of the subject into the practice, so they're like process-based artists, and I think there is more and more visibility about it. I mean, there are always waves, like everything in art, but I can like to say that the fact that you choose one world that is a core. That okay, you do your research, but it's also to start a conversation with other people. And I think this is difficult to express in terms of art practice, but somehow it is, no?
Yeah, I don't believe in conclusions. Because I'm not a scientist, after all. Like, I'm not going to make a field study or something. And even these field studies, you find, are not making finished conclusions. And I guess the beauty in art is the freedom of... Oh, one beauty of art is a freedom of exploration. And I want to do this with people together in different artistic ways. And yeah, I guess this will then put the process into the main field, is the main body of the work. I somehow don't think of it like this, but now, as you say, that's pretty true.
Yeah, and actually, I like conclusions, but the conclusions are just... a step. It's where you stop a moment, is a kind of a safe zone after you had some effort, and then you stop a bit in the conclusion to lay down, to relax. Of course, if you stop to move, then you just close yourself into conclusion. But somehow it's also nice sometimes to have a conclusion and then say, okay, what's next now?
Yeah, okay, maybe I have to correct my sentence, which would then be, I don't believe in finite conclusions. Like, I really like to continue thinking on things and then again, also with artworks, not make something, seeing it as finished and it's gone to the past and the archive of the life. No, it's more like it keeps on going, and there's constant transcendence and there's constant fluidity of things. So it's good to have had a conclusion to think about, to talk about, to bring it in discussion, but to just stay stagnant with it and not giving it space to develop further by you or by itself or by other people. That's not how I can imagine things to be.
That's a nice conclusion.
Fuck no.
Oh, sorry, I'm kidding. I'm playing a bit with words, of course. Before we continue, there is a song I would like to play that you put in the bucket you bring to us, and maybe we talk later because I'm happy. You bring her on the table, and I hope we might let some people discover her, and then eventually we talk, because I was surprised that you take this artist with you. So let's hear her and then know why you choose her.
Yeah.
Well, so let's, Vasily, let's explain this show. I mean, I can get that this kind of song, it's nice to listen loud. I think it's the typical song you could appreciate in a club, loud enough, but not too loud. So I get this choice, but I'm also curious, among all the others kind of songs like that, you choose this one in particular.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a difficult one. Like, I had it just on a playlist of mine, and then my father heard it, told that he likes it, and I was like, yeah, actually, not this song, but Groovy Jungle. And then I listened more into her music, and it was quite interesting because she was also kind of a little myth online, not very popular.
Yeah, you can say it's a Sam Quayle.
Sam Quayle, yeah. And she was like also somehow performing at the Venice Biennale. So I was already thinking, yeah, art context also interesting. And then just following what she released, and it was quite interesting. Again, there was this camp aesthetic they had. There was this queerness because she's like rooted in the ballroom scene. So interesting also on a political level. Then she has like this natural Madonna.
Kylie Minogue. I say Kylie Minogue, but if you want, you can say also Madonna.
Yeah, I wanted to say natural Madonna-ness, but I think these two words are...
It's quite nice, the concept of Madonna-ness.
Yeah, but not with natural. Because it's very like dressing up and making yourself look like something, which is so cool. I love it. I love the videos. And I actually like the music also a lot. So she did the Madonna cover of I forgot the song, it's so famous. Life is a misery.
Yeah, something with like a prayer. Like a prayer.
Yeah, great cover from Like a Prayer. And then I was at the Fusion Festival in Berlin, which is very famous for like electronic music in all fields. And I saw there that Sam Quayle is performing live. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't fit in. I didn't expect this to see there because it's more also like DJs and so on and producers of electronic music. But went to her live concert. Yeah, it was good fun. Like a lot of dancing, what a performance. Not too many people yet, but I'm absolutely convinced that she will be a superstar in the next few years.
Yeah, I think you were lucky to... Maybe this year is the last year that you eventually can see her in a ticket that is around 20, 30 euro. And maybe probably in the next few years that she will be big star, or just be in a burnout and disappearing like a lot of promised big star. We actually hope that she won't have a burnout. But when I see her dancing so a lot and kind of she's like hyper energetic and is contagious when I see her moving, and she always have these five or six boys around her, so sort of looking like a street gang. But of hypeness, I mean, I don't know how to say, but like that, a bit like West Side Story. No, it's the impression or the narrative or our communications that she's living in a permanent musical.
Oh,
no?
Yeah, I like this a lot. A personified musical. Yeah, that's something.
Totally. And it's contagious because you kind of want to also go in the street and start to dance, just to go to, you know, supermarket and start to move differently by buying cornflakes, and then I have to take the bread and some vegetables. And
yeah,
we should be more Sam Quayle.
Yeah, maybe. Absolutely. And music-wise, I just like in many of her songs, like the last quarter of the song has a different element which goes into experimental sound, noisy things. Yeah, just like this in songs. And yeah, the musicalness, the energy that goes with this. I think most songs are like over, I don't know how many BPM, 140, I think. Yeah, and I actually like, I very rarely DJ for special occasions, and in every set I played, I think there was at least one Sam Kelly song. So I'm pushing her, yeah.
Yeah, and it makes me also remember one group or singer that shared a moment more than 10 years ago. I think she's still active somehow. I see the name in some festival sometime. That is Santi Gold. Do you remember Santi Gold?
No.
I will share with you later because it was kind of different way to perform. I saw Santi Gold for, by chance in the Montreux Jazz more than 10 years ago. Before a concert I was going to see, and it was really a really nice clash and nice discover. So it was two black women and I think a DJ, and then there was a sort of peculiar choreography while they were singing also, and it was kind of poker face dancing. I mean, it was not really like Sam Kelly jumping everywhere. It was more static, but with some move of the legs and the arms that were really explosive. And then get again in the poker face. And yeah, so just to mark sort of a continuation, I have the impression there is luckily every once in a while some artists that are combining as much something that is pop, so it will have a large range of audience, but also have a peculiar way to present themselves and to embody the something that could be also more kind of artist. I mean, they're also having a real proposal that you feel is not only about selling.
Yeah, this is that's very much part of it. Like I often find these kind of musicians interesting, which they don't seem to just play these images or something. It's really like you feel some kind of necessity going, some kind of uniqueness, and yeah, they just go with it. And for me, this is often a connection point to artists, and with artists I also mean musicians and so on. And while this other thing where it's just go to selling an image, or with this I mean also selling an image of oneself, direction is often not giving me a lot, because also when you talk to those people after three or four sentences it basically stops. Nothing interesting will they will not talk anything interesting after these three or four sentences to you, whereas you have these people with this necessity, you ask them more questions and they will open up like the box of the Pandora, and just a lot of inspiration, thoughts and emotion will come out of this. And that's what's fascinating me.
And yeah, the time is running, as you know, and the people they listen Lumpen Station, they know I could speak hours, and but time is going quite fast, and I wanted to ask you before we close about what you will do next week, because we are doing this conversation radio show to somehow teasing or mark a start of this residency you will do. So I have to also to say that won't be the format of your intervention here in the Studiolo. I mean, I won't speak all the time. Actually, I won't be here next time. So maybe we can share what are your plan for at least the next radio show that will be also fully the first episode of this season around loud and loudness.
Yeah, I will answer this question after the next song.
All right.
From Smokey Bench, Grim Reaper, also a newcomer from Zurich.
Let's go. So the song spoke. Now it's your turn. We've seen.
Yep. Okay. So next week. So the overall project is called Loud, and each show will have an own title. So here now we are doing the introduction. Next week we will have the topic of transition, and for each of the show where we have participants or live guests, which are musicians, artists, and just people of music and sound culture. Yeah, there will be like three different elements of the show. So element one is sound performance. Element two is experimental music. And element three is context. So sound performance is also more on an... Yeah, in the history of performance art located, not so much in music history. There will also be some experiments in this. For next week, we'll have Fabian Gutscher coming to us. He's like a sound artist and engineer, currently working at the ETH in Zurich, and just a very virtuous person when it's about finding beautiful ideas, how to think sound in new ways, which I have recently experienced by a work he did where he has put the piano string into flowing water and connected the piano string was on a weight, and then basically the flow of the water made the string swinging, and through this sound got created, which he then distributed to different earphones. So he had the sound of music, and he did at another work a similar thing with a kite and piano string, and then basically collecting the sound of the wind. So yeah, I'm not completely sure yet what he will bring up, but I'm very, very curious and looking forward to that.
And how do you not expect, but would like the audience also listen to the happening, because we are also here in the KBCB and on Lumpen Station, always trying also to invite the audience to find a way to experience the sound work. So I'm also opening the question to the artists we are inviting. We know that everything is in a process, is in open, but so far, what will be your wish for the receptive moment?
Yeah, I mean, so actually with Fabian, we were also brainstorming about ways to open up participation for the audience. I'm not completely sure if and how we would do this. But otherwise, I think also there's a good way of getting in touch with us through social media or email, through the website. And I'm quite happy to get feedback or like ideas by the recipients if they don't only want to listen to what is broadcasted, but also, want to interact with it, because I'm always open to interaction and participation. And if they're nice ideas are coming up, there's always a way to include them into the shows. Let me also introduce the other two guests for next week. So I just
sure
I don't do only one. For experimental music, we will have sound artist called Clara Goethe, and I think she will play like a hybrid between recorded and live set with some instruments. So this is more in the history of music, but still on a very experimental base. I'm not completely sure which direction she's taking. I know she's sometimes also doing live ambient. Maybe she also does some bits of noise. But let us be surprised as well. And the third person for context, there is also no hierarchy in this number. It's just, everyone is equal here. Is Isi von Walterskirchen. With her, I'm talking mostly, so this is the part of context. Isi is or was working in the Rote Fabrik for quite a while. She was a big part of restructuring things and just like a natural force of change, of social change, of political change, of music as a way of changing things, of club culture. Very fascinating person with a lot of energy. She's a co-founder of Summer Camp. She's co-founder of Rhythm Festival. Really intertwined, and recently won, I think, the award by Sender Gedeas for the biggest scene. So, I think we'll have quite an interesting mix of guests.
That's sound incredible. Unfortunately, I won't be here, but that's nice with the radio, because I can listen live or on a podcast archive. Actually, to be really honest with you, next week I will be in the Venice Biennale, so I won't listen to the live, but I will, of course, listen to the podcast.
Take a radio and play it in the exhibition.
Yeah, during the presentation of the, the Venice, the opening of the Swiss Pavilion, I will just either... device that is playing your performance, like sort of sound bomb attack, but I don't want to care. You walk a lot during the Biennale of Venice, so I will just want to travel light. But it's nice, because there will be the podcast, and also I will certainly play this show in the streaming. 24 hours per day streaming. So if you are listening the podcast and us in the future, because the Biennale is already started, and maybe it was 5 years ago, who knows, I invite you to keep going to listen what Vasily did, so with Echo Chamber, and there will be also the loud program. Is with the future people, I never know if I speak with people that they will listen in 2 weeks or in 5 years, so I have to be really complete with all the information.
It's good to expect the future.
I always say I speak with ghosts in the future. Hello, people in the future. Vasily, last words before I play the closing song.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to say something about it?
Oh no, I don't have so much to say to the closing song. I mean, show one will be loud. Show one will be transition. Show two will be mutation. And yeah, for me, somehow together they also create this word and transmutation through loudness. This is still kind of a poem which my head make, which I don't understand and have to decipher. But I thought the title of the last song, When Matter Dissolves, fits very good to the topics of the themes. It's by Solar Rhythm. And I also obviously like the sound and I'm looking very, very forward to this new beautiful experience and challenges here at Lumpen Station. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you and see you soon on the stream of Lumpen Station here from the Kunsthaus Biel, Centre d'Art Bien, for the friends KBCB.